Tune in as author and publisher Joshua Schmoody and renowned talk show host Susan Brinder interview authors, artists, business entrepreneurs, political activists, musicians, and academics to discuss what it means to live the high life. A life of total abundance, joy, passion, and fulfillment. A life where your dreams become realities through the empowering medium of knowledge. Learn something new from book publishing and product distribution, public relations, to politics, psychology, and philosophy. If real-world knowledge interests you, then tune in and start living your higher life today. Hi, I'm Joshua Schmoody, and welcome to another episode of High Life, a show where you can start living your best life now through the empowering medium of knowledge. I have my co-host with me, Susan Brinder, and today we have a very special guest. Susan, could you introduce our guest for us?
I surely can. And Kim Rose is a hands-on clinical dietitian with an acute care hospital in Central South Florida. She has close to 10 years of experience as a general practice dietitian, long-term care dietitian, and outpatient renal dietitian. Her experience includes diabetes management, weight management, hypertension, high cholesterol, and kidney disease. Now, you have done so many different things, and you are really interesting. I want to say to my guest, Kim Rose, welcome to our show. So, Kim, talk to us about why does nutrition play an important role in overall health?
Thank you guys for having me on the show. So just to jump right into it, it's without a shadow of a doubt that your food choices affect your health. It impacts how you felt yesterday, how you feel today, and also how you will feel tomorrow. Good health is just more than simply the absence of disease and maintaining a healthy weight for your body frame. It basically circulates around everything that you're eating and also the right amount of nutrients. And for those of you who do not know, nutrients are little substances that are found in food, which is essential for our bodies to repair, to grow, and overall flourish. So basically, we don't only eat because we're hungry. We eat to provide our bodies with the basic building blocks it needs to function. So particularly focusing on nutrition, the role that nutrition has to play, nutrition helps to reduce the risk of some diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, strokes, and also osteoporosis and some cancers. It helps to reduce high blood pressure. The nutrition, having a overall healthy diet helps to lower cholesterol. It improves your well-being. It increases your energy levels, and also it improves.
She's hello. There. I think she may have dropped off.
Oh, wow.
She should be back in. It's okay. I'll edit that out and just put it back. Just add what she says after that.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
No.
Yeah.
Strange.
Let me send her a text real quick. And tell
okay.
Her.
I think we should start over. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult for you.
No, we don't have to start over. That I can edit it. Just we'll keep going on nutrition, and then I'll edit it together. It's not a problem.
Okay.
Susan, you always want to start. Oh, here she goes. She's coming back. You always want to start over again. It's like forever doing a show with you.
I want to make it easier for you, you know?
No, it's okay. It's not a problem. I can always edit it out. I mean, we're recording now, so I'm going to have to edit this out anyway, but it's not a big deal. She should be back on here. This is going to be a very interesting talk.
Yeah, she's great.
Let's see. I mean, I like, one thing I like about what Duncan said, and I like to kind of have more guests on around that theme. He wants to give us real world knowledge, you know, that's going to help people in the real world. And that's kind of what I'd like the focus to be on this show. Let's see here. On mute. There we go. Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
It's okay. We'll edit all that out and just start back off where you left off with nutrition. You were saying nutrition is the building blocks for our body to heal and repair heart disease, diabetes. So talk a little bit more about nutrition and what that means, that role in our life.
Okay. So nutrition is, as I stated, basically the building blocks for our bodies. When we consume nutrient-dense foods, so basically foods that have a lot of vitamins and minerals in them, it helps to reduce diseases such as diabetes and heart disease and stroke. It also helps to reduce high blood pressure. It can improve your overall well-being. It can improve your mood. It can lower your cholesterol levels as well as increase your energy levels and also your ability to recover from an illness or injury.
You know, Kim, this is what I'm interested in. Years and years ago, I think our parents used to feed us food that today people would say, oh my God. For example, they always thought about anemia as an example, and they would give you liver, which is full of cholesterol. And they would tell you to drink as much milk as you can, which again is good for vitamin D. But the reality is that also cholesterol can rise to God knows where. How is it that we've changed so much and that we understand so much more?
Well, I'm very glad that you brought that up. So let me address the liver first. So when iron levels were low, typically historically, liver was given for consumption. And liver is a rich source of the vitamins and minerals that are housed in the body. So it kind of makes sense. So the point that you just stated that it drives up cholesterol levels and the milk does the same thing. There's one thing that we do need to remember. Number one, we are living a totally different lifestyle. Our lifestyle is a bit sedentary, which we'll get to later on during this presentation. And also, there is really no bad foods. So if you're eating these foods in the proper amount, which is 3 ounces, that's about the size of a deck of cards, then these foods should not really bother you unless you have some type of legitimate food allergy or food intolerance to them.
So that's interesting.
What do you say to, you know, with cancer treatment, for example? The way modern medicine is set up, is it set up to deal with the symptoms and not the underlying causes of the disease, right? So, you know, you'll have somebody who gets diagnosed with cancer and they go and they get chemo and, oh, great, your cancer's in remission now, but they never address the underlying lifestyle factors that could have led to them developing this cancer in the first place. So what do you feel the role of nutrition is in modern medicine? I mean, do you feel that people should be more focused on the nutritional aspect rather than the modern medicine approach of we're going to treat the symptoms and just don't worry about the disease? Or, I mean, what do you think would be the proper approach?
Well, my personal belief is in regards to someone that already has cancer. Let's look at that first.
Okay.
I think nutrition as well as modern medicine go hand in hand, because if you are giving medications to someone that is basically nutrition depleted, you can't expect that medication to work properly. For instance, what I always say to my patients, you have a brand new car, but if you don't have any fuel in that engine, what do you expect? What's going to happen to the car? The car is not going to run properly. And that is the same way with someone that already has cancer. They can be taking all of the chemo treatments that they want, but if they don't give their bodies nutrient-dense foods, then it's really not going to function as it's supposed to. And additionally, let's look at the pre-cancer patient, someone that doesn't have cancer. There are various evidence-based studies out there that say the diet high in fiber may help to reduce colon cancer, for instance. But then also we have to consider that we have genetic predispositions. And as I always say, our predisposition to developing cancer is the gun, but the lifestyle pulls the trigger. So if you're someone that may be eating foods that are high in estrogen or foods that are high in cholesterol or high in fat, and you know you have a family predisposition to it, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
Mm-hmm. That brings up the whole point of diabetes. It seems to me, and I don't know, I certainly, I'm very fortunate I don't have that disease, but there are so many people who do, and so many kids who are diabetic as well. Now, what do you attribute that to? Because here we're getting so much information and education about the good food that we should be eating and all the things that would help us to maintain our weight, that sort of thing. And yet it doesn't seem to be working. So what do you attribute that to?
So there's two types of diabetes. There's diabetes type 1 as well as diabetes type 2. Actually, let me say there's many types of diabetes, but those two are the most popular. So I think it's really about understanding the different types of diabetes. So type 1 diabetes, which you see most often in the children population, is the diabetes that happens because there is a genetic misprint per se. Like the pancreas, the cells of the pancreas stop working, so they do not produce insulin. So individuals as young as 3 years old have diabetes. And then there's also type 2 diabetes, which is more so of a lifestyle diabetes. And that is not to say that as individuals get older, their pancreas may become a little more sluggish and not produce as much insulin. But when you see type 2 diabetes in young children and adolescents, that may be related to lifestyle. So we know we live in a obesogenic society and also a very sedentary society. There are fast food restaurants among every corner. There's computers, there's video games. Children nowadays, compared to how I grew up, are not going outside and not getting any type of exercising and also consuming foods that are high in fat, high in sugar, and not burning off all that excess. So with the... Hello?
We're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So with the type 2 diabetes, this can be related to a lifestyle factor. And that's why I said earlier, it's important to consume foods that are high in nutrients. So such as your fruits and your vegetables, and to stay away from foods high in calories, such as your potato chips and your cookies and your hamburgers.
You know, I'll tell you something, Kim. Years ago, I interviewed somebody who also was a dietitian and a nutritionist, and she said, you know, we would like to be able to give out the best information about health, the best information about diet, diets, what kind of food to eat. But there is a problem. And she said, this is the problem. Take, for instance, McDonald's. Well, McDonald's has tons of money in their marketing department and in their PR. And they advertise on television and they talk about, oh, we've put in salads now, we've put in different foods to help our, you know, our children keep their weight down. But she said, how do you fight a McDonald's? You can't. It's they have the ability to just say whatever they want to say, even if it's not necessarily true. She said, I would love to be able to teach everybody the best way for them to keep their health, but we have to fight people like McDonald's. Can't, just can't. What do you say to that?
There is a truth to that. I personally believe it's one person at a time. Like when patients come to me and they say, Kim, you know, I've gained 10 pounds and the doctor says I have to take it off to get this knee surgery, or they say my cholesterol is high. It's really about, number one, placing dietitians in the media light so that individuals can know that dietitians do exist. This is their job. And also, number two, changing one person's life at a time. It's true, McDonald's and all these other fast food chains, they do have the money, they do have the marketing to say, this is a fast food, you're in and you're out in 5 minutes. And to be honest with you, eating healthy, it takes planning, it takes time, it takes proper execution. So my thing that I always say, I say to my patients, why waste the first 50 years of your life making money? And then the next 50 years of your life, taking that money that you made and spending it on your health. Your retirement years are supposed to be your golden years, not your years spent in the hospital. So if you really want to enjoy your health, make food conscious decisions.
Right. And, you know, one thing I want to tell people, because there's this, misconception, and I think the mainstream media, whether advertently or inadvertently, has a lot to do with it. And that is, everybody looks at a doctor, not a dietitian, but a doctor, as what he says is the golden rule. Anything they say you have to do, they have your best interest, they know what's best. But what a lot of people don't understand is death by misdiagnosis, medical errors from doctors, is actually the third leading cause of death in this country. So, I mean, it's up there with like heart disease, but yet people put all their faith and their trust in this medical establishment, which seems to be more concerned with profiting off of them and profiting off of their illness rather than actually wanting to cure what they have. So in terms of what a dietitian does in comparison with what a doctor does, can you kind of break that down for people and explain what the difference is between somebody going to a doctor and somebody going to a dietitian to sort of treat their disease?
Sure. So the difference is, a doctor only gets about 30 hours of nutrition training when they are in medical school.
Wow.
A dietitian, on the other hand, gets basically double, if not triple, that amount. So dietitians are the food and nutrition experts. We are able to tell you what foods have what vitamins, what minerals that may help specifically with what disease state or disease process. Doctors don't have that training. Doctors are more so know about the pathophysiology of disease. They're familiar with medications. They're not really familiar with the lifestyle changes and the lifestyle choices. Additionally, when you go to your doctor, and everyone that has visited a doctor has seen this happen, you go in, you see your doctor for 10 to 15, maybe even 20 minutes if it's a really good doctor, and then they're out. A dietitian, on the other hand, they sit down with you for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and they discuss your disease state specifically with what foods may benefit and what foods aren't beneficial. So dietitians are more so lifestyle.
Right. And one thing I do want to interject here too, Susan, it just brings up a funny story, because my mom recently saw a dietitian because she's been a little overweight for quite some time, and she just had a hip replaced, and she's going to have her other hip replaced. And they basically said, look, you need to lose X amount of pounds before we can do the surgery. And I have lost weight before. I've been up to 240 pounds. I'm down to, I stayed about 170, 175 now, which is a good weight for me. And so I learned all about your resting metabolic rate, your calories, how many calories you burn doing nothing, how to eat less than what you normally burn. And that's how you basically lose weight, because you're getting that calorie deficiency. And I believe it's like 3,000 calories equals 1 pound of fat. So I
Correct.
Was trying to explain this to her, you know, and me being her son, of course, your parents always going to look at you like the baby. They're never going to look at you like someone who can actually give them sound advice. But anyway, I had told her, look, you need to get your, you know, find out what your resting metabolic rate is. I had the mathematical formula, see how many calories you burn doing nothing, and then eat 300 calories less than that. So for people who are trying to lose weight, right, because this is a big thing in the country right now. I mean, there's a lot of obesity issues, and it really has to do with the calories that they're eating, especially with companies like McDonald's. They put extra chemicals in the food to make you hungrier. It's like addictive chemicals that they add to it, and they've been doing this for a long time. So you're eating thousands of calories and you still don't feel full. So can you explain for people who are going through that mix what you would tell somebody if they came to you and said, look, I need to drop 30 pounds and I need to drop it, you know, within the next 6 months. How can I do that?
So the first thing that I would tell or educate that client on is, what is healthy weight loss? So healthy weight loss is a half a pound to 1 pound a week. And the reason for that is, if you lose any more, you're not losing fat, you're losing water. And water is vital for the organs of the body to basically function normally. Additionally, the next thing that I would say is, don't focus on what is on the scale. Because when you look at the scale, it's not taking into consideration your muscle mass versus your fat mass. Something that I always say is, focus on how your clothes fit. The next thing that I will do before even getting into the diet is find out, is there any type of stressors in your life? Because it's not only the food that you put in your mouth that causes you to gain weight. If you are stressed, your body is in a fight mode. So your body is going to hang on to calories that you're eating. Additionally, sleep. How well are you sleeping at night? Studies have come out and shown that individuals that do not get a lot of sleep, what happens? They causes weight gain. And then the final thing that I'll focus on is the diet. Looking into their diet, seeing where there's additional, like an excess amount of calories that doesn't need to be there. Are there butters? Are there ice creams? Are there fried foods? Are you eating the skin on the chicken or whatever type of meat there is? And then changing that out and adding more fiber, such as the fruits and vegetables, which is going to help you stay fuller for a longer period of time. So I go through all of that before saying, okay, this, you want to lose weight, but these are factors you need to consider. Because you can be eating correctly and not sleeping at night, and you're still going to gain weight.
Well,
there you go. You know, I'm very interested in the question that you posed to us when you gave it to me, and it would be about women. And women between the ages of 50 and 70, should they focus on any particular nutrients or any kind of diet that would be very useful for somebody who's growing older?
Of course there is. So I think we already established the fact, just a quick recap, that a balanced diet contains a variety of nutrients and it's the chief cornerstone of health. So between the ages of 50 and 70, women need to focus on vitamin D and calcium for those healthy bones. This is important because as women age, they're at the risk for osteoporosis. So osteoporosis is a condition that consists of weakened bones. And when the bones are weak, this increases the chance of them fracturing. So calcium is a major nutrient that forms new bone cells. And women, especially over the age of 50, that are more prone to osteoporosis, needs calcium. But calcium doesn't only work by itself. Calcium has to have its counterpart, which is vitamin D. They go hand in hand, kind of like apples and oranges. They're two fruits that go hand in hand. So you can take all the calcium you want, but if you don't have the proper amount of vitamin D, it's not going to be properly absorbed. So calcium is found in such foods as yogurt. It's found in fortified orange juices. And also something that I always like to push is those leafy greens, such as turnip greens or kale or even collard greens. Calcium is rich in these foods as well. So yeah. I always say for women, try to get 2 to 4 servings of calcium on a daily basis. So basically one serving is 6 ounces of yogurt or 1 cup of cooked greens, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, yesterday is an example. I attended a movie yesterday and I looked around me, Kim, and virtually every woman that I saw in the audience was obese, was fat. Mm-hmm. And you say to yourself, you know, I don't get it, because the reality is that there's so much information and education about dieting, about all the different foods that are good for you, and yet look what I saw. What do you attribute to that?
Various factors, Susan, various factors. It could be genetics. It could be a sedentary lifestyle. It could be certain diseases. Certain diseases cause weight gain. So it could be a variety of different factors. So when I see someone for their height to weight proportion that may be a little more on the voluptuous side, I always consider to myself, which of these three factors is going on? I don't always necessarily say that it's the diet, but it could be any one of those three.
And you know, just about the obesity issue, because I've just noticed it becoming more and more prevalent as I've gotten older and older. And I think, I mean, and you tell me your input on this, but I think there's this unconscious desire, right, to have a quick fix, a take a magic pill and everything will go away. Here's a winning lottery ticket. Now you're rich and you don't have to do anything. It's, you know, they want to get something for nothing. There's no real, like, people don't want to hear, oh, you want to lose weight? Well, you're going to have to lose a pound a week and you're going to have to do that by only eating certain foods and cutting certain things out of your diet. I mean, people don't want to hear that. People want to hear, here's a pill, eat whatever you want and you're going to lose weight. So what do you think, what do you think is driving, their decisions and why they, I guess, are allowing this to happen? I mean, I guess that's the best way to ask the question.
So while you're speaking, something actually just came to my mind. So in the dietetics community, there is a big push for something called HAES, H-A-E-S. I'm not sure if either of you have heard of it. But no. HAES is called Healthy at Every Size. So I think in the society that we live, just looking at the history of it, I was actually looking at it the other day, we focus a lot on someone's physical appearance. For instance, by that, this is what I mean. Don't get me wrong. Hear me out on this. I mean that, you know, there are individuals that are running around and they may be suffering from an eating disorder, yet they are accepted by society because they are thin. It's something called thin privilege. Instead of people focusing on, I'm healthy, I'm at a healthy weight, I'm eating right, I'm exercising, I'm feeling great, I'm not laden with any diseases, I'm not feeling any pain. So going back to your question now, I think individuals probably need to shift their focus on looking at the outward and focus on the whole entire person. Are they physically well? Are their lab levels looking good? Are they free from diseases? Or if it's a disease that they, is a genetic predisposition, are the diseases under control? Are they eating appropriately? Are they including the CDC recommended servings of fruit and vegetables? Or are they very, very sick? There was someone that I went to school with, and this person was actually a male, and he was buff and tough, and I mean, he looked very good. But he sat me down and he said, Kim, my cholesterol level is extremely high. And even though he looked good, I said, well, what are you eating? And when he told me what he was eating, I said, well, that's why your cholesterol level is high. You need to change things up just a little bit. And I mean, same way, one of my coworkers, she works in the respiratory therapy department, and she is the most petite person ever. And she said, Kim, I need help. My cholesterol is also high. And I said, well, what are you eating?
Yeah. Well, that also brings up the point about exercise. You brought up exercise. Can a person lose weight if they don't exercise and they do have a good diet?
Yes, they can. The first scenario that comes to my mind with that is someone suffering from anorexia. Some of these women, they do not, and even men as well, they do not exercise. What they do instead is they starve themselves. So that is a very extreme example. But yeah, it can be done.
It's still
but
pervasive.
I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it.
Right.
Of course.
Well, and I was going to say, isn't losing weight, I mean, from my experience, it's about burning more calories than you're consuming. I mean, ultimately, that's the whole goal. You know, if your body burns 1,700 calories, if that's my resting metabolic rate, for example, and I'm only eating 1,500 calories a day, there's a 200 calorie deficit without me exercising at all. That is my body is basically needs those 200 calories. It's not getting it. So hypothetically speaking, it dips into the fat, if you will. I mean, that's been my understanding of it and how I've lost weight. So I'm assuming that's kind of where you're going with losing weight without having to exercise. It's more so about your resting metabolic rate and the calorie deficit that you have.
Yeah. Right. It's a calorie deficit.
And what about people who drink? What about alcohol? It seems to me that you see people drinking a lot of wine and a lot of beer, and I just wonder whether that contributes to overweight as well.
Alcohol is very calorie dense. It is the second most popular calorie dense food or beverage in this case. The first most popular calorie dense food is fat, and then alcohol, and then carbohydrates and protein. So liquid calories is what I call them. And especially during this time of year, I always say to people, be careful of your liquid calories. You may be eating all the fruits and vegetables and beans that you want, but if you are consuming an excess consumption of alcohol, then it's going to cause weight gain. And for men, that is 2 servings of alcohol. And for women, it's only 1. So a serving is, for instance, 12 ounces of beer or 1 ounce of strong liquor.
Right. And the other thing is, what about food labeling? Should people who are going into the supermarket take a look at all the labels and then figure out whether it's in their, you know, capacity to keep their weight down?
Well, this is what I tell people when they go to the supermarket. The first thing to do is definitely shop the perimeter of the grocery store. The perimeter of the grocery store has your fruits, your vegetables, it has your meats, and that's what I want people to focus on. To have these fresh items in their refrigerators, and basically you can go into the middle of the grocery store, but these foods are more preserved and they also have more calories. When looking at the food label, for instance, let's say, because I'm in Florida, it's hurricane season still, and you want to buy a can of beans, the first thing that I would do when I look at the food label is look at the ingredients. Does the ingredient say beans and water and salt, or does it say beans, water, salt, hydrogenated fatty acids, and all these other scientific words that are not able, you're not able to pronounce? The next thing that I do is look at the food label itself. I don't really look at calories, because calories is not what I'm focusing on, because I personally have a very active lifestyle. I'm looking at total fat. I'm looking at sodium, because I know my family has a history of high blood pressure. I'm looking at cholesterol. Those are the things to really hone in on if you're a person that may have these issues or a genetic predisposition to them.
Have you, what is your thoughts on using nutrition in lieu of medicine? And I know you're not a doctor, so I'm not, to our listeners, I'm not telling them to follow this advice. Don't ever follow any advice on here without consulting an expert or your physician, of course. But what do you think the role nutrition plays is with like cancer? Have you ever seen anybody in your personal life who's had a terminal illness and the traditional doctor said, hey, look, you're stage 4, you're going to die, you got 6 months, we can give you some chemo, but you're probably going to die. And seeing these people, I mean, there's stories all the time, and you see this person not take conventional treatment. They just completely change their lifestyle. They cut out the processed foods, and all of a sudden their cancer goes into remission on its own. So, I mean, have you had any personal experience? If not, what are your thoughts with the role nutrition could play in having our body heal and repair itself from these terminal diseases?
So I have not had a experience with any family member or a patient of mine where that has happened, that scenario where they turn to alternative medicine instead of conventional medicine. But what I have seen is definitely collaboration with the physicians that I do collaborate and work with, and also the importance of nutrition. For instance, doctors refer patients to me all the time that have high blood pressure. They put them on Crestor and Liptor and all these other medications that are supposed to bring down their blood pressure. However, the medications do not work as effectively as they should, because they still continue to eat the same fried, greasy, and high-fat foods. When that patient is referred to me and I say to them, for the next 3 months, we're on a lifestyle change, because I don't believe in diet. The way that society has made that word seem is temporary. So I like to say we're doing a lifestyle change, which is a little more permanent. So 3 months, doctor takes their lab work again. They say to me, Kim, what did you do? I had to decrease their medication because lab levels, cholesterol is looking good. So that is an example of one change that I've seen. Same thing with diabetes. Mm. I'm a certified diabetes educator. Individuals have come to me, blood sugars are out the roof. And I say, okay, what's your meal time? What is your carb? If you don't know what a carb is, this is the basics of what a carbohydrate is. 3 months down the road, they're following my plan because these things take accountability and follow-up. You can't just educate someone and then throw them to the wolves and not check on them the next week or 2 weeks and expect them to still be on the same lifestyle regimen. So there's constant follow-up. And 3 months down the road, blood sugar levels are good. Doctors have said to me, I had to decrease their metformin. I had to decrease their glipizide. What did you do? And it's a lifestyle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kim, we're almost at the end of the show, and I think that it's very important because people don't always go to dietitians or nutritionists. They just sort of listen to all the hype, if you will, on Weight Watchers or the payload. Is it payload diet?
Payload diet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They hear about that from friends, from word of mouth, and that's what they follow. They don't go to a person like yourself. So I want you to finish off on walking us through what happens when somebody comes into your office.
Sure. So when someone comes into my office, the first thing that I do is listen. And not just listen passively, I actively listen. What issues are you going through related to your health? How is your health affecting your mental being? Because if things are not sound upstairs, you can't expect someone to implement a change that you are recommending. After that, then I get anthropometric data. And that basically means height, weight, lab work, just to see where they are at this specific time. After that, I do have my clients visually walk me through. I say to them, tell me what is in your freezer right now. What is in your refrigerator? What is in your pantry? They tell me those items. And then typically I have them tell me, what did you eat in the last 24 hours? Approximately what time did you eat it? And what were your portion sizes? After I gather all of this information and I allow my client to warm up to me, letting them know, hey, I'm not here for the big bucks. The doctors make the big bucks here, not the dietitian. Then I say to them, this is the lifestyle change I'm recommending for you. And some of my clients, they say, well, Kim, yes, I can implement 100% of this. Others say, well, this is not going to fit with my lifestyle. So next thing that I do, if it's not able to fit with their lifestyle, I find ways to interweave it in so that they can accept it, because I'm not going to go home with them. I'm not going to go grocery shopping unless they call me. I've done that many a times before.
Really?
I have. I'm not going to see what they eat for dinner. So I empower them to feel confident in their skills to make healthy food decisions. And then when I wrap up with them, I like to say, okay, now here's your pop quiz. Tell me, what is a serving of fruit? And then they're able to tell me that. Or between a chicken and a baked chicken and a fried chicken, which one has the least amount of fat? And they're able to tell me that. So I give them the tools that they're able to make an educated decision on their own. And if not, I'm a phone call away.
Well, my guest today has been Kim Rose. Kim, if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to learn a little bit about what you do in your practice, or if you're coming out with a book or anything like that, how do they find you?
Sure. The easiest place to find me is my website, kimrosedietitian.com. And that is kimrosedietitian.com. And that is really the easiest place. And also my YouTube channel, same thing, Kim Rose Dietitian.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good deal. Yeah, we got about 10 seconds left, so I might have to finish it up very quickly, Susan. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and thank you for coming on the show. And until next time, guys, remember, knowledge is power. Take care.
The High Life Show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represent the subject before acting on any information or advice. The High Life Show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site or podcast. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represents the subject before acting on any information or advice. Thank you.